It's time for our scripture this morning. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What Daisy just sang leads right into the scripture. How can God look at us sinners and say all those wonderful things about us? It's found in this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It's probably one you know. Hopefully, if you haven't memorized it, this is a good one to memorize. Therefore, if anyone, who's that include? If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Those able, I ask you to kneel with me as we pray. Father in heaven, first I want to praise you for the plan of salvation and the sacrifice that you and your Son made to save us. And I also want to thank you for the beauty that you surround us with, even in this world, that we might know you as Creator as well. Father, I pray that you forgive us for our sins against you. And we praise you yet again for your willingness to see us only through the prism of your perfect Son. And Father, I pray for anyone in this congregation or otherwise that has need of you for comfort or support or lifting up. And I pray that your miracles will still be done in this world that will people will recognize your work and give you glory and come to know you in a different way. And Father, I pray also for Kevin that you speak through him. You use him as a mouthpiece to give us words that will give us greater truths about you and draw us closer to you, that we might know you as a friend and a father. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I have a request. So I'm looking at you. After the closing song, Indescribable, would you do me one more favor? The group? Would you then again sing the last song you sang? Please. Thank you, Daisy. Well, get the technical stuff out of the way here for a moment. In case you didn't see the bulletin insert, this is Creation Sabbath. Not just here in Medford, but throughout the world. Pastor Don, I don't know when was it, middle of the week or whatever, sent me this information and said, hey, you don't have to, no pressure, but... And it just happened to work out that the message that I originally wanted to bring was specifically for a group of young people, most of which are not here, so we're going to do that some other time. When you think of creation, one more thing. Most of you expect, and I would hate to disappoint you, for a slight rebuttal or reprise against Rod, because every time he talks, there's always some mention to my follically challenged head. Well, I will just say one thing, and it goes to every one of us this morning. Eventually, Not only is there creation, but there is recreation. And your hair will fall out and look just like mine. If you would pray with me, please. Dear Father, thank you for this Sabbath. Thank you for the opportunity that we can look at your mighty hand through creation. And that we can also see what you have done to recreate, to make us clean and fresh and new again. Dear Father, may they hear you. May nothing that I say get in the way of that. For I would pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I really think that this is the opportunity for me just to sit down and be quiet. Because you all heard the music. We've already worshiped God this morning. And although Abby knew that the message was about creation, I'm not sure Daisy did. Did you pick the song because of that? Okay, good. I have to tell you, though, there have been times, more times than, yeah, I see the little fist bump there, more times than not when no one really knows what's going on, but God does, and he always orchestrates that. And so this morning, above everything else, that's what I hope, is that God will orchestrate the words that you hear so that we can see God the way that he really is. We look at creation, and of course, to do that, we go to Genesis. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, talks of God and his creative power. Louis Giglio, in actually your closing song, Indescribable, if you've seen Louis Giglio's video on Indescribable, he talks about being beside God. When he spoke the earth into creation, when he spoke, and he said, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that would be just the greatest thing to be able to stand right beside God and watch him, and he would speak, and the sun was there, and he said, not me. So I'm a little afraid of that, because the Bible says that out of the mouth of God came forth. God spoke, and the sun was there. And he said, I'm good with sitting back and watching from a distance. And I think that there needs to be that sense of awe with God. That it's more than just his ability to say, it is and it happens. That out of the mouth of God came forth what we see. Psalms 95. I have most of these marked because I fumble a lot when I'm up here. Psalms 95, verses 4 and 5. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Just another way to look and say that, yes, God made everything that there is. That when God spoke, all of creation listened and responded to him. Psalms 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. God's hands were intimately involved with the creation of this world. We see that specifically when he formed man with his hands, and with his own breath he breathed into him. God is in control. God owns everything that there is. Psalms 104 and verse 24. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made all. The earth is full of your creatures. I love that. The earth is full of his creatures. You know, when I think of creatures, sometimes I think of the creepy crawlies, but that's really not what this is. It's the earth is full of his creation. That God spoke and it happened. That there is a peace of God. Please don't misunderstand, because we need to be really careful, because I'm not a tree hugger and God is in the tree, but you know God is. Because God created that tree out of his mind. Out of the mind, and that's something that I think we need to think about more when we think about creation, is out of the mind of God came all these things that we see. And yeah, they have been polluted and diluted and the same as we have. But still, God thought about a pine tree, and it was there. He thought about... I think these are carnations, some of these, right? Okay, good. He thought about a carnation, and out of the mind of God there came. My grandpa's favorite flower was a pansy. You ever really looked at the pansy? If you look at a pansy, it's a face. It's a smiling face. And my grandpa used to tell me, that's God's face. Smiling at you. In all of creation is God. But did God stop creating? Has he stopped creating? No. So in what way then is God still creating? Would you like some help with that? Well, it goes something like this. Sam? What's going to happen in December? Come on, Sam. Luckily, your wife is not there, because she would go... They're going to have a baby. Amen. Created by the hand of God. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you ever think of that? What does fearful mean? When you think of fearful, what do you think? Yeah, ooh. You think of fearful, you think of scared. Was God afraid? No. So what does fearful mean? I like that. When we're fearful, we turn and we hide. We put up a defense barrier. When God is, this isn't going to come out right, so please forgive me. But God is, he's contemplative. He's going, okay, what is this child going to look like? What is it going to be like? When his brain is formed, what will it think of? Will it take on the attributes of the mother or the father? Or some of both. I see God not being afraid, but more contemplative. This is a very special act I'm going to create something new, something wonderful, something very special. And I wasn't going to, but I'm going to anyway. Sorry. I'll get beaten after this. You know, Jerry, we've had a conversation about our grandkids, right?
Used to before you got born, I did. You had none.
Jerry, I'm one upping you again. I got another one in the hopper. I'm just saying. We had a little reveal thing last night, and there's going to be a grandson in my family. Okay, I have to explain. I cannot tell you that it belongs to my youngest daughter. I can't say that because she told me I couldn't. But Tiffany wants me to make sure, really, really sure, that I make sure and tell you for absolute sureness that it is not her. Okay, so I didn't say your name, Kimmy. You know, when we think of births, I was in the hospital room for 2 out of 3. I was, other than the doctor himself, I was the first person to hold my girls. It's amazing. This is a new life that God himself created. And we could spend all day talking about creation, but fortunately, my time is just almost up. But I want to talk for a moment about recreation. God has the ability to recreate. And that is so amazing. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of this because I just want to tell you some of the stuff that goes on in Rod in my mind. And it's a place that most of you, we don't want to go there. Okay, I'm just saying. When Peter and John, remember the song, Peter and John went to pray. What did they meet? A lame man, right? Okay, so how long had he been lame? 38. You're very good, Jerry.
See,
so this man had not walked for 38 years. When you don't use your muscles, what happens to them? Atrophy. There was no muscle. When a newborn baby is learning, they have to learn to crawl. They have to learn to walk. This man, after 38 years, even if he had ever walked before, that impulse reaction is gone. So, he says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And we say, praise the Lord, because he walked, right? That's only half of the story. You know what happened? There's these muscles that are atrophied, and they go, boom! And his mind goes, poof, there! The memory to walk, the ability to move one after the other, it's there. God spoke, not to the man. He spoke to his creation, the cells of this man's body. And the cells of this man's body responded to their master. And they went, poosh, a muscle. When we get to heaven, after, I don't know, the first billion years or so, I don't know, I want to sit down and I want to go through all the old video clips. I want to see this guy. And I'm hoping when he sat down, you know, that he had his skirt pulled up, because they wore dresses, just saying. And you'll be able to see his muscle, because I want to see that muscle. I want to see the muscle the moment that his faith through these two men went boom, and the muscle was there. I want to see that muscle go whoosh. going, whoa, that's a good-looking muscle. Jesus walked by a pool, and it was a man that had been there all of his life. And he said, can you help me get into the water when it moves? And Jesus said, I got one better for you. He said, pick up your mat and let's go. And immediately the cells within this man's body, we overlook it and go, oh, that's really cool. Jesus said, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. He had never walked. And all of a sudden, he knows how to walk. How is that possible? It's not, except that God recreated within this man, and the cells of his body responded to the master. And that gives me such great hope. Because as David read, thank you very much, David, there's something else going on. It's not about these old bodies. Yeah, that's going to be really cool when we get new bodies and there's no more aches and there's no more pains. Sin is gone. The cancer is gone forever. Forever it's gone. That's going to be really cool. But what's going to be even cooler is when we can walk into the throne room of God himself. He says, come boldly before me. Right now, if we did that, you know what would happen? A little pile of ashes, and then he'd go, clean up an aisle three. Somebody did it again. Okay? We will walk into the throne room of God, and we will stand before him and personally thank him for the sacrifice that he made for us. That's what recreation is all about. Recreation is creating within me a clean heart. If he can reach down, or just by the voice, he can command a dead man, a dead, decaying Lazarus, and tell him to come out. Do you not think he's capable of restoring this little tiny chunk of flesh within us? God's desire is to recreate. When he recreates, there will be something outstanding. Something that this world will go, I have no idea what that is, but I want it. God is waiting for his people. He's waiting for a people who want true recreation, who are so tired of this world, tired of the sin that we live in, tired of the sin that most of the time, quite honestly, we enjoy and we appreciate and we want. That's the truth. He's waiting for a people who will say, I'm done. I will not step over that line anymore because I know what it does to you. When that happens, they will see. That's what true recreation is all about. Colossians 3:13 and 14 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, and this is the hard part, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We are blessed in this church. This is a family. And yes, I can tell you that even as perfect as my family is, we still make mistakes. We still hurt each other sometimes. We don't do it on purpose, but it happens, right? But the beauty about that is because we are family, you can go to whoever it is that you have offended within your family and say, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. And they go, for what? It's forgiven. In this church, we are blessed that way. But we need to take this next step. If there is anything that is separating you from your brothers or your sisters, it is time that we put them childish things away. And you say, oh, they're not childish. We talked a little bit in Sabbath school about this. When I was 3 years old, I was walking to school, and they tripped me. Of course, when I was 3 years old, I had to walk 12 miles uphill through the snow that was over the fence posts. My dad had to walk to the same path, except his was over the telephone poles, except they didn't have phones back then. But it's time, people. Nothing in this world can offend you if you have already died to self and allowed Christ to live within you, for him to recreate us, body eventually, but right now, mind and soul. God is longing for that opportunity. He wants us to be his. I'd ask the deacons if you can pass out the cards now. You know, when Jesus comes, you know where I want to be? You know where I want to be when Jesus comes? I want to be standing in a cemetery. Can you imagine what it would be like? How cool would that be? I don't understand how that all works. The great part about it is I don't have to. But to see friends and loved ones that have passed away, you know where I would really like to be? In a cemetery in Salem. Because that's where my dad is. To be able to take his hand as God calls us home. But you know, that's selfish of me. Because I want to be right here with each one of you too. So that when God calls our names, we can all go up together. Please take the card. I know that a lot of you don't fill them out. Because last week, before the baptism, I came up early to make sure there was enough water. And I walked around and I picked them up in the pews. And there was probably more left in the pews than there was. Please fill them out. Even if you've been a member all of your life, you grew up here, please fill them out. It's not just about the information that pastor gets from this. These are commitment cards. What you are telling God again is yes. As simple it is on a piece of paper, I'm willing to do that for you. Today I would ask you, do you acknowledge God as a mighty creator? Does your belief in God as that creator give you hope? And if it is, please mark it. Again, God is longing to create and recreate, but he can only recreate us if we say yes. So this morning I would ask you, please say yes to God.
little confusion here. It's time for our offering now. If the deacons would come forward, please. Our offering today is for Oregon Conference Youth Support. And I like the way this has kind of gone along with the other things that we've talked about, our schools and our children. Our children are so important. And I hope that each one of us can remember them in our offerings and support this mission. Ask that you would bow your heads with me, please. Father, thank you for this Sabbath day, and thank you for this opportunity to give to you, to give back to you the things that you have shared with us. Please be with our youth, be with our leaders, and help this offering go to the places it needs to go. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.